So if you use any bad language, you can bleep me.
Yep.
Is there any money to be made here?
There's a little money. We have members who pay $5 to $20 a month to support the network. Hmm. And also.
So then you must pay your guests with this money, right?
No. This is Voyager Revisited, a podcast on the Incomparable Network dedicated to the Star Trek Voyager series. I'm Jean McDonald, and for each episode, I invite a Star Trek fan on to come and talk about Voyager. For this episode, my special guest is indeed very special. It is my father, Bob McDonald, and I thought it would be fun to talk Star Trek with him for a change. Hey, Dad, how's it going?
Going well.
I'm glad. Why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I'm an 85-year-old retired codger, and I live with my wife in Central Florida. And I got here by way of teaching public school for 30 years and then retiring and looking for another profession, which turned out to be travel and working around the house.
Well, I am really glad that you were able, that we were able to like pull this together. We've been talking about doing this for a while. And one of the reasons that I thought it would be interesting to have you on, obviously I can listen to you whenever I want by picking up the phone. But the listeners of Voyager Revisited might be interested in what your experience with the Star Trek series has been. Do you remember when Star Trek was first launched?
That's, you know, most of my memories. I assume it was back in the late 60s.
Yeah, it was actually 66.
And, you know, I think as a family, we were fairly tuned into it. It may have not been our favorite program, but of course, the theme of space travel was a good one.
Yeah.
And the costumes were good, too. So we paid attention. And I think it was, you know, at least for a couple of years, maybe, a main part of our television diet. But, you know, when it comes to Voyager and what's the other series?
Well, there was The Next Generation, which came out. That's the one with Captain Picard. And then after that came Deep Space Nine and Voyager about the same time.
Yeah. Well, Picard I'm aware of, but I haven't caught too many of those programs. And I'm not sure I ever got into Voyager. Mm-hmm. Because Captain Janeway is kind of a new name in my vocabulary, so I may have missed that.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, space was a good theme. I have this memory. I have a couple space-related memories that are not Star Trek-based. One is that you went to Cape Kennedy to see a liftoff of one of the Apollo missions. Is that, that's right, correct?
Not one of them, the Apollo 13.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you saw it when it took off?
Yep. I was on sabbatical at that time, taking a course at the University of Miami. And one of the professors was a manager of some sort for NASA, and even though the course had ended, he said he could get us VIP seating for the launch, and of course, I think everybody got on board. And Mom and I drove up there, and she was decked out in her best dress. I guess I had a suit on. Mm-hmm. But as we looked, you know, across the bleachers at some of the other dignitaries, I guess it was Askew at the time, not Askew, Agnew.
The vice president?
Yeah, he was there, and Werner von Braun was there.
Wow.
And a few others. I could have thrown a small stone over to where they were sitting. It was quite an experience. I guess the most lasting memory was the liftoff. And even though you're 3 miles away in the viewing area, the amount of sound and vibration is enormous and almost breathtaking.
Oh, I can imagine. And then that mission ran into its difficulties. You must have been felt especially like, you know, connected.
Yeah, well, we would have followed it anyway, but certainly with what was going on, we followed it quite closely.
That's interesting because I don't really have a memory of that. And I don't know why. I think as a kid, I didn't really watch programs that weren't, you know, comedies or cartoons. So I wasn't really watching the news. But another thing I remember that made a big impression on me was a night launch that we watched from our roof in Miami.
I was just thinking whether you were going to bring that up.
Yeah.
We could get on the roof fairly easily, and it was a pretty straight shot, view-wise, to Canaveral. It was 200 miles, you know, sight.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, where I am here now in Central Florida, we can look out the back door and see the launches from here on a clear night.
Oh.
In fact, during the day, I guess we're probably under, I would say 70 miles to the Cape from where we are here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still reminded, and Bob keeps calling me to make sure I don't miss it. Of course, half the time the clouds are going to make it impossible anyway.
Yeah. No, it was super memorable to see that streak of the tail. And
I have another memory.
Oh, yeah.
Just occurred to me. Your mom and I were flying north. Can't remember where we were going. But we had the good luck of being upgraded to first class. And we definitely were flying by west of the Cape when the captain said, it's about time for a launch, and look out the starboard side or the right side or whatever he said. And so we did. In fact, I think that was our side of the plane. And we caught a launch from an aircraft at that, wow, that time. I don't remember what the date was or what the launch was.
Wow. That would be maybe a little unnerving even. Sometimes I forget how, you know, the space industry is, you know, quite woven into my home state of Florida. And I maybe don't give it enough credit for my interest in science fiction and particularly Star Trek. And I'm not surprised that you didn't see Voyager when it was on, because I didn't actually see it either. I think I was in graduate school at that point, and I didn't actually. No, I was. I don't know. For whatever reason, there was actually a period of time where I didn't even have a television. So, I got into it later when Netflix started streaming. And. And then I really did get hooked on it because of Captain Janeway. I thought it was just very interesting to have a female captain for the first time. And she turned out to be a really good one, I thought. Were you at all impressed? I've made you watch some Voyager at this point, so you could see what I'm talking about.
So you're my thoughts on Janeway, huh?
Yeah, I do.
Well, she doesn't seem to really have the qualities of a commanding officer.
Really?
But she's a good actress. But yeah, I, you know, the episode I watched here the other day, Hope and Fear.
Right.
I thought it was a pretty good episode, and I thought she handled herself well. But I'd also, you know, watched that Coda episode.
Yeah. Wasn't really a fair test since she was dead. maybe.
Well, I hadn't seen your rating list before I looked at it.
Yeah.
I might not have even bothered to watch, but.
Yeah.
You know, that was, to me, you know, seemed like a spoof on how to make a space movie on a $100 budget. But, no, in both episodes, I was impressed by, you know, how casual she was with the crew. And in both episodes, I think she put her hands on their shoulders or, you know, some part mm-hmm. of their body. And talking about the party of the night before. And I thought, what's going on here? Am I really seeing a space movie, or is this some sort of joke? But in any event, I did get a bad start on Voyager by starting with that episode.
Yeah, and I have to take full responsibility for that. Like, okay. I did not. When we first started talking about recording an episode of Voyager Revisited, I thought, well, I had been, you know, trying to give people episodes to watch that, you know, where, you know, had something in common with the person. And in that particular episode, which is called Coda, and it is not one of the best episodes, but I thought it was going to be interesting because that's the one where Janeway's father returns to her in ghost form, or so we think. And that was my only reason for doing it. And the mistake I made was not rewatching it before asking
Give
you to watch
it. Give me a little warning.
No, I wouldn't have even told you to watch it, mainly because it's an episode that doesn't really make sense to a casual watcher, because it's all about these relationships that have been building over, you know, a number of seasons. And it's not that interesting if you don't already know
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah. That I needed more background on characters.
Yeah.
To make any sense out of it anyway, and coming in cold. You know, I actually had the impression in Coda that there'd been an orgy the night before that they were talking about.
No, a talent show. They definitely
is that what
said
it was? Well, the way Janeway was, you know, referencing it, I thought.
And
she's
I can
got something
tell you,
going on here.
It's the one and only talent show they have ever even talked about having in 176 episodes. So it's not a regular feature. Although, let me see if I can tease out what things you other background like that it occurs to me that you may not know about Voyager just from having watched the episode Coda and now Hope and Fear is that you. I think from Hope and Fear, you learn what their predicament is, that they are tens of thousands of light years away from Earth.
Yeah, I understood it from the beginning, and it occurred to me, well, these guys are so clever, how come they got lost out here all this time? But
it's not their fault.
I figured, okay, I'll give them that premise and see where they take it.
You know, there's a lot of supreme type beings out there in the universe, or not supreme beings, but super, you know, powerful alien races that can move things around at will, and that's what happened to them. That's how the series starts. And
was that Arcturus's fault or somebody
no,
else?
No, it was Arcturus. He's an ant compared to the people who brought Voyager. Well, in fact, brought Voyager plus another ship, which Voyager was pursuing. So Voyager's first mission was to capture a rebel ship. So there was a whole series of battles, but in the same quadrant of the galaxy, the Alpha Quadrant. That's where Earth is, of course. We're in the Alpha section of the galaxy. And the Federation had made a treaty with this pretty nasty bunch called the Cardassians, but a lot of people on the Cardassians.
Called the what?
Cardassians, not the Kardashians.
That's what I heard, yes.
Yes. Now, there were Cardassians in Star Trek before there were Kardashians in reality TV. There were, you know, colonies on this border that did not want to be colonized by the Cardassians. And so there was a rebel force called the Maquis that was, you know, fighting as a guerrilla organization against this empire. And what happened with Voyager is they were supposed to capture this Maquis ship. But the Maquis ship got taken to the Delta Quadrant, just like Voyager also got taken. So there were these two ships from the Alpha Quadrant that were being, there was this all-powerful being, let's not even talk about him, but he was trying to find somebody to take his place because he was dying. And he was kidnapping basically people from all over the universe to try to see if anybody could take his place. And what ends up happening is the Maquis ship is destroyed, and the Voyager takes these anti-Federation crew onto their crew, and they join together as one. And so that's where, like, the first officer.
Are you reviewing all 176 episodes?
No, that's just the first episode.
Oh, okay.
Don't be a smart aleck. What I'm trying to tell you is that all the people on that crew did not leave together as a crew, but they're kind of stuck together out there and are facing, like, you know, a 70-year journey or more back to Earth. So some of the officers are from the original Federation crew, like Janeway, and some are from the Maquis. And then there's the Borg.
Yeah, I guess I got some sense of that. But I'm just thinking now with your summarizing what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm making a comparison, Lord of the Rings in space. Mm-hmm. With, of course, the motivations in Lord of the Rings were a lot more profound than what's going on in Voyager, but that's the way my mind works sometimes. In fact, you know, when I watched the other day and saw the opening scenes of Hope and Fear, I thought, well, I better, you know, pay attention here and make some mental notes, and I'll have something to talk about. The first thing that caught me was Voyager sliding through space, and I thought the Voyager was, you know, compared to Enterprise, they tried to be more streamlined. It takes me back to my youth, and the theory in cars those days was a Mercury coupe was a better looking shape than a Ford coupe, even though they're both made by the same company.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put fender skirts on it, which I think they tried to do with Voyager with those, I don't know what they're called, the power booms or...
Oh, the nacelles?
Yeah.
That power the ship. Well, Enterprise had those too, I mean.
Yeah, I know. But these seem to be curved into, you know, a general... softer, rounder, sleeker ship.
Yeah. No, you're right. That's true. I mean, obviously, they like to keep redesigning their ships like any engineers. You know, now on television, unlike any time before, there's so much Star Trek available. Once they started back with Star Trek Discovery a few years ago on CBS, then they Then they brought back Picard for a season, and for one season, you know, like just a I think you should watch it. It's like Picard, retired Picard.
Who plays Picard?
Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he does it in the revival also?
Yes. So he is himself. Okay. He's the same character.
It's not like 007 where they keep
no
running somebody else through there to do the job.
No, I mean, it's not only supposed to be him, but it's supposed to be him 20 years after he's retired. And he seems to have a pretty decent retirement, in my estimation, living on his family vineyard in France. But he, of course, gets sucked in to a space adventure because he can't help it. But my point is, like, with all these shows, and there's still more shows to come, new shows.
You know, that makes me think of something. Picard, I think, is a name involved with something we saw on PBS. I guess it could have been a Nova program. And a solar-powered plane. I think it was called the Solar Voyager. Flew around the world, not easily, but after overcoming a number of obstacles, they did get around the world.
Okay.
With 4 17 horsepower engines run by solar cells on practically every surface of the craft. And they, you know, made a documentary on this, and it was quite interesting.
Yeah, I'm just looking it up now, and it was a guy named Bertrand Picard, who...
Yeah, I think they were primarily Swiss and French, and...
Right, he's Swiss.
It's a fairly, you know, international... A group that developed and guided this thing around the world.
Yeah, solar-powered aircraft circumnavigating the world. This Picard has two C's in his name, not one, but...
Well, let's not get too picky here. And was I right, the name of the craft was Solar Voyager?
Solar Impulse.
Okay, yeah, Impulse for the...
That's interesting. Power. Well, Dad, did not know about that, but bookmarking this for to read up on it some more. Anyway, Picard, he tried a new career after retirement as a vintner, but...
He wasn't happy with his grapes?
He still wanted to go back and, you know, save the galaxy once again. It's a good show. I liked it.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of like that myself. I sometimes think, gee, if I could get back in the classroom, maybe I could do a better job now that I see what's going on in the world and hear what these kids are up to.
Yeah.
I might be a better teacher now for having been off the job and just theoretically going through the motions.
Interesting thought. Let's put a pin in that because that's a very interesting thought I want to explore with you in another venue. So on top of all that stuff with Voyager and the other crew of anti-Cardassian terrorists, there were, you know, making up the background of Voyager. There's also... an important story with the Seven of Nine that she was, she had been assimilated by the Borg. And I'm wondering, have you ever heard of the Borg before? Because it's something.
Not until I watched that episode.
Okay. You get a little taste of it at the end when Arturus in Hope and Fear, he's set this ship to go to Borg territory. And you hear their voices saying, "We are the Borg. You will be assimilated. Resistance is futile." That's like their catchphrase. And it's basically like a it's not a race because they assimilate other races, but they take living beings and turn them into cyborgs. So sort of part machine, part organic, but also that they think with one mind. So the Borg were featured in the series Star Trek The Next Generation. In fact, there's a famous episode where they capture Captain Picard, and he is also assimilated for a short amount of time. But generally, when you're assimilated by the Borg, that's it for you. But Voyager had come across the Borg many times, but when they first tried to work with them against an even more dangerous species, that's when they took Seven of Nine, who was assigned to be their interpreter, and disconnected her from the Borg collective. So that's why she's so robot-like sometimes. She's a human, and she has a lot of the information, you know, the data is still in her head from when she was a Borg, part of the Borg.
Yeah, well, I thought she was a pleasing character, and it was nice they got her to smile at the end of the show.
Yeah. And that relationship between Janeway and Seven, you know, where Janeway's made it her goal is to help Seven find her humanity. And the fact that Seven says things like intuition is just a human myth. Of course, we know Janeway's all full of intuition. And she has a bad feeling.
Yeah, well, that played a lot in her getting the ship out of the difficulties that I guess our tourists had concocted.
I hadn't watched that episode in quite a while, and I had forgotten how suspicious that Janeway was from pretty much the beginning. And she does say how they have been through this before. I mean, that's what this series definitely has in common with Gilligan's Island, is that you think they're going to get rescued, or you think they're going to figure out a way to get back to Earth, and then they're disappointed again.
So they've been on 176 episodes of trying to get back to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of time spent.
Yeah. Well, they definitely. What I like about the show is because they travel through so many regions of space, they are constantly meeting new alien species. And so they have a lot of variation in the kinds of challenges or enemies that they come up against. They also, even though they are trying to get home, they will stop and look, you know, at to observe, you know, space phenomenon, or get to know another species. Like, they still carry out the Federation Starfleet mission of explore strange new worlds. So, Daddy, have I succeeded in getting you any more interested in Star Trek these days, or? Are you just...
No, I would say I'm probably beyond that genre.
Yeah.
You know, these days we get into the arts and the sciences, you know, on TV.
Right.
PBS is a good part of our curriculum. But of course, now that we have Roku and can stream, we're starting to get into other things that we had not been available to us before.
Well, I tried. I just thought it would be fun to get you to watch some Star Trek, see how it struck you all these years later, because I know that we did watch it back when I was a kid.
Well, my experience with CODA probably soured me somewhat. And I'm not even sure what the other series is. Something Beyond, is that the title of it? All right, there's Enterprise, there's Voyager, and what's the other one?
Deep Space.
Discovery?
Well, there's Deep Space Nine, which was also from about 20 years ago. Discovery is new. Discovery started.
Oh, that's the new version, yeah. Okay.
And
I might be interested, just for comparison's sake, to, you know, take a look at a couple of their episodes and see if they're doing anything. You know, of what I know about it, I still think Captain Kirk ran the best ship of them all, but that may be a little male chauvinism going on there.
Oh, maybe just a little. Well, I would enjoy hearing if you decide to watch something else. Certainly, me and Bob have been watching Discovery, and we like that. And I have watched the new Picard series, and they're also going to do another series with the Enterprise before Kirk, with Captain Pike, but they'll still have Spock, young Spock.
They're going to create a new series, but it's before Kirk.
Well, they've done that twice now, because Discovery started before Kirk.
Oh, yeah.
Enterprise started a long time before Kirk.
But now you're telling me that, no, they've actually, you know, they pulled a Star Wars here, I guess. I keep jumping around in the timeline.
Yeah. Probably a good thing for me to wrap this up before I confuse you further with my Star Trek nerding out here.
Let me ask you a question. It's, you seem to be really into this space travel and the different series of Enterprise and Discovery and Voyager. Mm-hmm. How do you rate this among your other interest, or your interest in other series that you've, you know, gotten into, you know, series from past years that getting your interest peaked more with anything else, or is it still the space travel that?
Well, I tend to like things that have a science component, for sure. My previous podcast that I did was about a series called Orphan Black, which was about clones, and it was a very sci-fi kind of action thriller, but featured very strong female characters. So I think if there's science and women involved, I'm always going to be interested in checking it out. Neither one is required. I still like Columbo, you know. Not very scientific and very few women. So. But that's okay.
Well, that was a personality quirk going on there.
Yeah. That's probably a good place to wrap this up. As good a place as any. Dad, you've been a good sport watching Voyager.
Well, you've been a good sport in tolerating some of my comments.
Oh, who knows what I'm going to edit out. Well, thanks again, and thank you, listeners, for being here. You can find Voyager Revisited online at voyagercast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and on micro.blog at Voyager_cast. And if you like this podcast, you'll want to check out all the other great shows at theincomparable.com. And consider becoming a member, which gets you access to bonus episodes, bootlegs, and our special members-only Slack, where you'll find me chatting about all things Star Trek with other podcasters and fans. I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another guest to discuss Star Trek Voyager. Until then, time's up.